We would like to acknowledge that this podcast is recorded on the traditional lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
We pay our respects to elders both past and present.
Scream Queens.
Welcome to Scream Queens.
This is the podcast where two beautiful queens who are also comedians watch all the things on your screens and talk about them.
That's it. My name is Alex J. I am a comedian, podcast producer, and writer.
I'm Beck Charwood, and I'm a secret.
And we are both your new best friends. We're workshopping the intros, guys.
We're workshopping it. I've endeavored to try to do a new thing every week, and on the drive here, I'm like, think of something funny to say, and then I don't, and then I get in here and I say things like, I'm a secret.
I like I'm a secret.
Okay.
She's cheeky.
Mystery.
So today on our review episode, Rebecca, what are we chatting about?
We have two things that we're reviewing. One is an Oscar-nominated film, Past Lives, and we watched the first episode of the new Mr. and Mrs. Smith series on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
What do you want to do first?
Should we do Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Yes.
Let's start with a little entree.
Yes.
Or for the American listeners, appetizer.
Oh.
Here, entree means appetizer.
Is that what it is?
Mm. They, what we call main,
main
meal, they call entree.
What?
Which makes no sense because entree in French means enter, like first, like begin.
What?
It's crazy.
This is blowing my mind. Okay, so wait, we say appetizers and main.
We say entree and main. They say appetizer and entree.
Those two words aren't friends.
Disgusting.
They don't live together.
Mm-mm-mm. No, they're actual mortal enemies. They moved out a long time ago and it was not amicable.
Yeah. People don't bring it up because they're just like, I don't want to start it again.
I don't. It's not worth it. But America seems to like them together. So.
Well, if you're American, look, start throwing around entree in the correct setting, please. Or stop listening to this fucking podcast. No, please keep listening.
Please, we love you.
Okay. And then I have a little treat at the end because I watched the movie that Ben Affleck was making while Jennifer Lopez was working on her masterpieces.
The movie that she did not go to the premiere for because she was in just doing too much on this film that she decided to make for herself. She decided
the schedule and everything of it and burn herself out.
And what movie was that? Air?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So I'll tell you some more about that.
All right,
in a
great.
Second. Thank you to everyone, by the way, who's messaging us that they are watching This Is Me Now and The Greatest Love Story Never Told.
I am so happy. I'm so jealous that people can watch it for the first time. I wish I could do that again.
I hope you're drunk when you watch it.
Oh, you must be.
It's sorry, but also you're welcome.
Great drinking game. Take a shot every time J-Lo is a victim. Take a shot every time J-Lo is a martyr.
Oh.
There we go.
You're going to be fucked up.
Yeah.
Buy extra wine. So Mr. and Mrs. Smith came out end of January, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting because it does have it's got Donald Glover acting, which, I mean,
love.
Absolute superstar at everything he does. Mm. Fuck you.
Yeah.
How dare you be this talented.
Rude.
And Maya Erskine, who is from, I was so excited to see her in a dramatic leading role after one of the greatest coming of age comedy series ever, Pen 15. Did you watch Pen 15?
Yes, I loved Pen 15.
Oh my God.
And to see her face again, it just brought it. It was almost nostalgic.
Without the bowl haircut.
Oh, with proper hair. She's so pretty.
She's so pretty. And if you haven't seen Pen 15, what are you doing with your time?
You must. I implore you.
It really,
are we going to get another series? Or was that one and done?
I think it's done.
Oh.
But it's perfect though.
Yeah, I need to rewatch.
It really embraces how stinky and disgusting you are as a teenager.
Yeah, there's nothing glorified. Nothing is romanticized.
Yeah.
Oh, it's perfect.
It's great.
And
also they're full adults acting like 13-year-old girls.
Excellent draw for the show is that these two fully grown women in their 30s are playing 12, 13, 14-year-old versions of themselves.
So much
And everyone
funnier.
Else in the cast are 12, 13, 14-year-olds.
Yes.
And these two women are the only – it's so good.
So good.
But you forget. You actually forget that they're not kids.
Yeah.
It's so good. So it was really cool to see her again. Mm. And like you said, in a dramatic role.
Mm.
She very much, she still brings her like kind of dry wit and sense of humor to it.
Yeah.
Did you like the first episode of Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I you know what? I liked it. Middle.
Yeah.
Straight in the middle.
Yeah.
Not above, not lower. Liked it.
Did it make you want to keep watching?
Not really. Yeah. If I'm being real. Like, because what I don't understand is why it was called Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
It's very different to the original plotline, right?
Yes. The original Mr. and Mrs. Smith is so sexy.
Yeah.
And also the tension behind it that Brad Pitt was cheating on Jennifer Aniston, obviously, the whole time with Angelina Jolie.
Very bold to try and recreate that movie into anything else because it's just such a moment in history that you can't possibly replicate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like half the hype of it was because of the cheating allegations, not because it was an excellent film.
And they're sexy. They're sexy, sexy people doing sexy spy things.
Yeah.
And this movie doesn't – it's clearly this movie is way more about comedy and drama.
Yeah, true.
Because even the opening scene is meant to be a misdirect.
Remind me, what was the opening
scene? So it's that, like, again, a sexy couple who are clearly – spies or, you know, criminals in some way doing a massive shootout with other assassins.
Yep.
And it's meant to be like this reveal of like, oh, just kidding. Mm. This is different. I'm like, well, the whole press around it has been Donald Glover and Maya Erskine. So I know those are the mains.
Yeah.
So this scene at the start is kind of pointless.
True.
Because I don't really, it's like, I've already seen on the cover art.
Yeah, that's right. That's the one that Alexander Skarsgård was in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird. It felt like it took a while to get into the show.
Mm.
And I feel like if you're going to do a recreation, you have to hook us straight up.
Mm.
Straight up. And remind me, wasn't the storyline in Mr. and Mrs. Smith, they didn't know each other were spies?
Yes.
So this, they meet as spies. They're put together
as a couple.
Yeah.
So it's meant to be like the reverse.
The reverse.
But then it's like, that's a completely different concept.
It's a different show.
What if, okay, maybe this might be it.
Mm.
The people that made it might not have known about Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, no.
And then, whoops, they just accidentally called it the same thing.
I mean, it makes sense because the whole thing is like Jane Smith and John Smith, like Jane Doe, John Doe, like the most, like, you know, anonymous names. And their names are Jane and John.
Sorry. I've just clocked that.
I only clocked it by watching this because they introduced each other as Jane and John. I'm like, that's like Jane and John Doe.
But yeah, it's really well made. Mm. Like, I will say the score is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The production's great. Mm. It does feel like a big, you know, spy action film.
Mm.
The whole sequence of dropping off the cake and everything, like, that was really cool.
Yeah.
I liked all that, but I just wasn't hooked.
Mm.
What do you think about them chemistry-wise together?
Love it.
Yeah, I do too.
They have great chemistry.
Mm.
And you can, and also when they do their press tour and stuff, it's like they're just being silly.
Yeah, I like that.
Keeping it cash.
They like each other. You can tell that they're friends.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen a lot these days.
Mm-hmm. Lest we talk about Madame Web again. So wait, will you be watching episode 2?
I might give episode 2 a go just to see. I feel rude to only watch the pilot of a show and not watch the follow-up.
Can you call it a pilot when it's being streaming? Given,
the
full budget?
As I said, pilot. I'm like, this isn't a pilot. They knew that they were making the following eps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what a weird world we live in now.
Mm. And it was like Mr. and – because it was like a lot of it was like, look at these normal people who also are spies. Mm. It's like they appear really normal and chill, but then they're also fucking spies. Whereas Mr. and Mrs. Smith, it was like these two absolute tens with guns hidden behind the fucking oven.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of like ridiculous.
It was ridiculous and exciting.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I will watch EP2 and we'll just see how it goes.
Okay. I won't. So.
Fair.
You tell me how it goes.
Fair.
All right. Our big screen edition. Big movie.
Big movie. An Oscar nominated.
Yes. Past Lives.
Past Lives. And by the time this comes out, the Oscars will have already happened. Imagine if this wins. No, underdog story that would be. I don't think it's gonna.
Okay, let's get into it.
All right. First of all, top baseline, have to give a shout out to runtime of an hour and 46 minutes.
Oh, what? It didn't feel like it.
Okay.
All right.
Let's get in.
I would like to start by saying this movie is not a bad movie. Mm-hmm. It was just so not for me.
Okay. Speak on that.
Because I hate a quiet movie.
So I hate an foreign movie.
No. I hate you hearing about these immigrants and their stories. We get it. It's not like mine. No, of course not. Of course not. I really don't like quiet movies.
Yeah.
I don't like a bland color palette. Mm-hmm. And I don't like dry, drawn out dialogue.
Okay.
And this movie had all of those things.
Tick, tick, tick.
Times a billion.
Yeah.
It was so quiet. There was so much slow there wasn't a lot of dialogue. It was just drawn out.
Like everyone paused before saying anything.
Yes. Which I get is like realism. Yeah. And it's like now this feels like a real conversation.
True.
I'm like, without the pauses, this movie is 45 minutes long. So sorry, I've said so much. What do you
please, I wanted
feel?
To get your feelings up top. I really liked it. It's not an Oscar winner for me, but I really liked it. It stuck with me. I keep thinking about it, and I have to think that means I enjoyed this movie.
Okay.
I agree. It was slow, but I do like long, heavy dialogue films.
That's okay.
And I do like quiet films. We're opposite in that. I do like a quiet film. I liked it. I thought it was a really interesting story that I haven't seen in film before. I was really surprised at how it concluded and the wrap up of everything and where everyone landed. It was just interesting. I found it really interesting. And this is the second week in a row that we've watched a half foreign language film.
Yes.
And I feel really smart for that. So I'm proud of me.
Yeah, I did start it and I was like, look at us.
Look at us again.
Such cultured women. Wow, we took an interest in another country, another culture. Well done.
Half. Go. Half of both of these films, half of it is still in English.
Yes. Go us.
UN, call us. Things I liked about the film.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, it's about two childhood friends who grew up in Korea. And then it's a boy and a girl. She moves away to America and he stays in Korea and they lose touch. And then 12 years later, they reconnect online and they have a purely online friendship. Mm. But it becomes a lot. It's like
very
excessive.
Intense.
And they're just constantly on Skype together and stuff. And then cut to
almost like a long distance relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think they ever explicitly say that they like each other and it's just this really weird, intense friendship.
Yeah. And they stop being – they eventually end the friendship because neither of them can come to the other country to see them.
And she realizes that that means this is just going to go on like this in his limbo stage for forever, for at least another year, and she can't do that. So she severs ties and then they don't reconnect again until another 12 years later when he reaches out and he's visiting America to come see her.
Yes.
And basically the underlying thing is that they do have very, very a very strong connection, very strong feelings for each other, but it's just the timing. It's never been able to work.
Yes.
By the time he comes to visit her, she's married. She's happily married. She's 12 years into this relationship with this lovely man, Arthur. And he comes and kind of like rocks that for her and makes her kind of question what she feels for this guy from Korea who she's never met before until now. It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, not never met before till now. Has said.
Oh, sorry. Because of course they knew each other as kids.
No.
Never met as adults until now.
Yeah. They've had like, 24 years apart.
Yeah. So I liked the nostalgia of it. I really enjoyed the Skype. I loved hearing the Skype sound again.
That boop, 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 boop. I was like, oh, I remember when that was so exciting.
Yeah.
Talking.
Talking to someone overseas. I really connected with it because I personally also fell in love with someone over Skype.
Oh.
The boy in America.
Oh, yes.
I fell in love with someone from America when I was 23 and I went and visited him. It didn't work out. But So I really enjoyed that because I super related to.
Wait, how did you meet him through the internet?
We were both fans of a podcast and we met on the Facebook group.
Oh my God. There's no deeper bond.
Shout out Walk in the Room.
Oh, great pod. One of the big OGs.
It is, yeah. So I really related to that section, that chunk of the film, and I really related to the frustration and the excitement and all that kind of stuff. So there was a little bit of nostalgia for me. What did you think about?
I think the problem is I didn't connect with any elements of the story.
Yeah, fair.
One, believe it or not, she's not an immigrant. Unless you count moving from Perth to Sydney.
Which we do, actually.
It does feel international in many ways. And I have never really had a long distance relationship. Mm-hmm. It's like I've been with a partner who's traveled a lot, but yeah, never long distance. So it just kind of, for me, this movie was, I was like, I don't really get the feelings happening
and
here.
What's happening. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. What did you think about Greta Lee?
It was really cool to see her in a dramatic role because she's done, she was in Broad City. She was in The New Girl for a long time as well.
Yeah.
She's in all comedy series. And so it was cool to see her in a serious role. She was really good.
Yeah, I really liked her.
Also, Celine Song, good director. Mm-hmm. I have to say, it's like this movie was, it's like the story was well told and it was really pretty.
Yep.
Pacing though.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake. Speed it. Just have one conversation that doesn't have so many pauses.
Yeah. So I think something that I took umbrage with and found hard, was a bit of a struggle to get through was it's almost like lack of emotion from her and her Korean boyfriend.
Yes.
When they speak, I get that the whole thing is that it's solemn, it's a weird situation, there's so much history to it. But every time they spoke, like when he came to visit, I don't know, it was just so stilted and...
Yeah, and it's like they're meant to be in love.
This otherworldly connection between them.
Yeah, I didn't feel it.
Yeah, yeah.
And also because it's like I never saw them have fun. It's always a really
interesting
big issue to me in relationships where it's like it's the love of my life. It's like I've never seen them laugh once.
Yeah.
Together.
It's so intense.
Yes. And it's like, but it's so, that's what a serious relationship is. And it's like.
Yuck.
Yuck.
It's like I remember once asking a friend of mine when she'd like years ago, she started dating a new guy and she's like, I really like him. I really, really like him. And I was like, oh, great. Is he funny? And she's like, oh, no. I was like, wait, that's not the first thing you noticed? Like, not is he funny, but does he make you laugh?
Yeah.
She's like, I can't remember. Like, what?
What?
That's number one.
Okay. You didn't laugh once?
Well, it's not a priority. Didn't stick out for some people.
Okay.
So maybe that's what this lady is.
Maybe it's just us because we're comedians, but
I don't know. I think having fun together should be a pretty big priority.
Oh, we're clowning around.
We love it.
It's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
Having bits.
What do you talk about if you're not joking around?
Right.
We possibly chat about politics?
Oh, my God. everyone's favorite, doing a bit that they hate incessantly.
Oh,
that's the funniest.
That is so funny.
Do you have a bit that Luke hates?
I definitely do, but I can't remember it off the top of my head. He has bits that I hate.
Do you want to say them on the podcast? Hate. Oh yeah, but that's it's like I love to hate. You love them, but it's like when you're like, ugh.
Yeah, he makes everything into a song that usually ends with the word bumhole. That is my favorite,
classic.
I've actually started doing that myself.
It's so fun and it's easy.
It's so good.
It's an easy laugh every time. It's cheap, but why not?
What's a bit that you do that Skip hates?
Oh my God, where do I begin? my favorite one is when we're leaving the house and you say, have you got the key? And he goes, yep. And I go, have you got the secret?
Nice.
And it's great because he doesn't know the song. He's never heard it.
It's great to have a bit that
the key to
the
secret
other person isn't in it on.
Yeah, literally. And I incessantly do it and he hates it. Another one I do, this is my, I would feel signature bit is, and I take this on the road. This isn't just for him. Is when someone sneezes more than twice and you said, bless you twice, I say, this isn't a church, you're not getting blessed again. It's so dad.
I love that.
It's so dad.
I love dad humor. I love when girls do dad humor. It's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so no bits between these two, but yeah, she's got bits with her husband.
Yes.
So let's talk about that whole, I guess, issue that's brought up in this.
Mm.
And I do think this movie tackled it really well. It was so subtle that it was a bit boring. But like the concept of she's in this very happy marriage for 12 whole years. I felt very comfortable in that she had no plans to leave her husband for this dude.
Yes.
When he was visiting. She feels really secure in it. But then this guy comes over that her husband's never met, and they do obviously have this connection, and she leans into the connection whilst her husband is around.
In an uncomfortable way.
An almost comical point.
Right.
At the bar.
Okay, I had to watch this movie in parts because this is, as soon as that dynamic came in, I was like, I need to take a break. Because
this is stressful.
This is insanity. Like, the disrespect for that man.
Poor Arthur. I loved him. He is a saint of a husband. She should be so lucky.
Yeah, I'm glad that they made them writers. And I was like, oh, this is some like wanky, selfish behavior.
Yes.
That only a creative would indulge. Yes,
so true.
Which is why so many of our friends are in open relationships for all the wrong reasons. And I won't say fucking who, but that's the spiciest thing I'm going to say.
I love it.
But anyway, sorry. But it's like, it is the thing of like being like, well, this is something you should explore, you know, because it's part of you, instead of being like, this is really disrespectful and I'm
so inappropriate,
uncomfortable and clearly hurt by this. Like, could you imagine if Luke was just like, by the way, this girl who I haven't spoken to in 12 years, I feel coming sick. To town.
I feel sick just even thinking about it.
And we're just going to go for a walk around the harbour together.
And I've told you how much I loved this person for about 24 years now.
Yeah.
I've always had a really strong connection with them.
And it's like I trust my partner 100%.
Absolutely.
That nothing would happen.
I don't know this person though.
Yeah.
I don't know this bitch coming over.
Yes.
What's she up to?
Also, why are you traveling internationally just to see my partner?
Yeah.
That's fucking weird.
He was a saint. He was a pushover at some points. There were so there's this scene where they're in the bar. They're in a bar.
This was ridiculous. Can I be honest? This was fucking ridiculous. And this is where I lost patience with this movie. And
I agree.
I was like,
this took me out.
I'm kind of fucking done.
Yeah, this took me out.
This just isn't. Okay. So the scene is, this is towards the end of the movie and this is the end of his stay, and she's like, oh my God, this connection is like very clearly there. And
what am I going to do? Do I do anything?
Yeah. And they're in this bar with, what's the character's name?
The Korean guy's character. Hye Sung.
Great actor, by the way.
Oh, so pretty too.
So pretty. Great.
The most excellent, nervous, anxious acting I've seen in my life.
Yeah.
It felt real.
So they're with Hye Sung and the husband and Greta Lee's character all in the bar. And what happens is they're sitting in a row, like literally on the bar in this restaurant.
All facing the same way.
And yeah, the conversation starts with Nora, Greta Lee's character, translating what Hye Sung is saying in Korean to her partner. And that slowly fades away. She's slowly making less effort because it's like, it's waning the conversation. And eventually Hye Sung and Nora just turn into each other and start having a full conversation in Korean, fully fucking ignoring her husband.
It was insane to watch.
And this conversation is intense. It's not like,
oh, she's giggling, she's whispering.
And there's long silences where they're just looking into each other's eyes.
The amount of staring into each other's eyes this movie had, I was uncomfortable.
In the husband's mind, I'm like, okay, where do I get boxes? Cool, I can get them on Craigslist.
Oh, yeah.
All right, can I stay with my mom for a little? Yeah, I think I'm going to have to stay with my mom. Commute's going to be hard, but I think I really need some, because this cannot be fucking happening right now.
I guess I got to get a lawyer.
Yeah.
To start the divorce proceedings. How do I serve someone with divorce papers? Mm. I'll Google it. Gets his phone out. Taking notes.
Fuck, yeah.
It was insane.
The fact he wasn't on his phone to me, I was like, this is unrealistic.
Well, it took it out of, like, I get that he's very much, not a pushover, but
He's trying to let her experience this, so he knows that she truly loves him and has chosen him.
Yes. But to what extent? So I think his boundaries are really tested in this scene. Mm. And she literally, towards, and it goes for a long time,
this scene is like 10 minutes long.
She's actually got her back to her husband.
Oh, yeah. 180. She's 180 away from him.
I could not respect it. I could not respect it. At some point, and also at one point, I was like, dude, just tap her on the shoulder or something. My God.
Go to the bathroom, for fuck's sake. Be like, you know what? You guys clearly want to keep talking.
Didn't interrupt once.
Yeah.
I would be there, hello, what are you saying? What are you guys talking about?
Oh, my God, just the most awkward. What are you guys talking about?
Are you talking about
kidding.
Me?
Not kidding. What the fuck is happening?
I like talking too. It was weird, man.
That was what really took me out of it. And I was like, this is, come on. Are you fucking serious?
Yep.
And it had taken so much of my patience to watch this.
Yeah.
And then that scene just kind of was like, fuck this. This scene is jerking itself off.
Oh my, just like the goal of this woman.
Yeah.
Like, I really liked her character. Actually, no, I'll take that back.
I don't like her character. I think she's a selfish person.
She's very selfish. And I liked her performance. But the character itself, so selfish, she never once reassures her husband. There are constant opportunities for her to say, but I love you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Mm. And I know that that's the storyline because I think ultimately what the storyline is, it's like Haesung was her connection to her Korean heritage. Like she'd mentioned that she doesn't speak Korean to anyone except her mum. I don't know if that's like still the case 12 years later. So maybe this was like the first time she'd spoken Korean in a long time. So it just brought up all of her heritage feelings as well as her connection to this person. But at the same time, she can still fucking reassure her husband that she is with him and she loves him. The way she treats him in this, he's begging for reassurance.
Yes, just once. And here's the thing about acting. Hey, you can say the words and we can tell that you don't mean it.
Yes, yes.
This, again, that's why the script stopped making sense. She could be like, of course you're the one. And then they're lying together, but she looks out the window.
And she looks off. Yeah. And he looks off and it's like, oh, no, they know.
She's lying. And we as the audience feel like we know something that they don't, which is a huge part of enjoying cinema.
Yes. Yeah. No, you're right. I really agree with that.
I was really struggling for the first, hour. And then in the last 40 minutes and completely, I was like, I don't have any stake in this.
Fair. Also, I was a bit disappointed. Like, overall, I did like the movie. But I was disappointed because the discourse online was like with One Day, get the tissues out for this film. You are going to have waterworks coming out of your face.
Mm-mm.
I didn't even well up.
I was pissed off by the end.
Where were we meant to cry in this?
Yeah.
So I'm not, I haven't lost my soul.
Mm. I think it might be is because we are in very healthy, secure relationships and we have been for quite some time. So for us, the idea of like, the possibility of someone else coming in and shaking that is just like,
it's not related. You know, it's not relatable. We didn't relate. Yeah.
Whereas if like, you're single or you're just like dating someone and it's still like all these possibilities floating around, it's like maybe that's a reality. But in my mind, I'm like, there's no one in my past that I would be like,
oh, God, no.
God, no.
Oh, happy to never see them again.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm never going to meet someone as weird as this cunt.
Yeah.
We're locked in.
This guy sings songs and ends it with the word bumhole.
Yeah, he's the biggest freak I know. No one's going to be as cool and freaky as him. No one's ever been as cool as freaky as him.
Yeah. I would just like to do a little shout out to any Arrested Development fans. There was a very fun little Easter egg in this.
What?
So in Arrested Development, for a spell, for about a season or two, Lucille adopts a Korean boy.
Mm.
A Korean child.
Oh, my God.
And she thinks his name is Anyang because that is the word in Korean for hello and I think goodbye. And so in Arrested Development, the ongoing joke is that this kid's always saying Anyang and they're like, hello, Anyang. And he's like, Anyang, because he thinks they're just greeting him. Oh, anyway, in this, they say Anyang. Baby, so happy.
Every time you're like,
I genuinely, every time they greeted each other, I was like, just funny.
Oh, well, should we rate the two things that we've talked about? Mr. and Mrs. Smith, how many exploding cakes out of 5?
A 2, but I'm willing to bump that up after ep 2 potentially. Mm. What about you?
2.5.
Cool.
2 full cakes and a cupcake.
That's nice.
Yeah. Past lives, how many long silences out of 5?
I give it 3. I do have all of the issues that I've spoken about, but again, it is still sticking with me. Mm. I don't know why. Maybe this, I haven't watched something so solemn. No, I did. I watched Anatomy of the Fall. I don't know what it is. Mm. It was solemn and it hit me. I don't know. Mm. Maybe because it is such a complicated, yucky kind of storyline and I don't like thinking about it in real life. I never want that to happen to either Luke or I.
Yes.
So I'm just like, getting the heebie-jeebies from it potentially. What about you?
I give it a 2.
Yeah.
But again, it's not a bad movie. It just truly wasn't for me and it didn't hit any of the points.
Great. Now to wrap up.
Oh my God. Okay.
Do you want to give us a little
J-Lo update?
Taster of our.
So I have, what I haven't stopped thinking about is the greatest love story never told.
And which has now been told.
Just the dynamic of Ben Affleck being like, please, the thing that broke our relationship down that ended our engagement the day before the wedding in 2003 was this constant exposure to the public of our relationship and the discourse around our relationship.
Mm.
And J-Lo saying, but that's something that I need.
But I like that. So we're doing it.
Yeah. And you just have to like get, this is a compromise of you just doing what I want.
Yeah.
And so anyway, there's this scene in it where she, if you've listened, she is like having a full breakdown, being like, oh my God, I'm missing Ben's big premiere. And it's very evident while the documentary is being made, Ben is also working on this big movie.
Yeah.
And the movie is Air. And it was nominated for a bunch of awards.
Right. I do remember hearing hype around it.
Mm. Mm. And so the story is it's the origin of the Air Jordan shoes.
Oh.
Of the historic deal that was made between Nike and Michael Jordan that changed like sneaker culture forever.
Wow. Essentially.
So the story is based around one of the sales guys who worked at Nike who did these sort of deals mm-hmm. with up-and-coming basketball players. And Ben Affleck plays the CEO of Nike.
Ah, okay.
And Jason Bateman is in there too.
Oh, love him.
And interestingly, just a small little unknown actress called Viola Davis plays, right?
Sorry. So while Jennifer was making this insane documentary and visual album, Ben Affleck was making a movie with Viola fucking Davis.
Yeah, sitting on set.
And Jennifer Lopez had the gall to pretend her project was just as important.
I know. Could you imagine going on a day on set while Viola Davis is playing Michael Jordan's mother, who is who is a fucking powerhouse of a woman.
I've heard of her.
Has raised she's a charming woman. She raised him so well and is essentially his manager throughout his entire career and is a huge reason for his success. Is nailing this role, giving some just absolutely wonderful, grounded performances. And then to go and see J-Lo fake being drunk in a music video. Like, I was like, what is your therapy sessions going to look like in the coming months?
She doesn't have them, babes.
I know, but they're going to have to go to couples counseling. Sorry.
Oh.
They have to have a mediator in the room present when the truths come out.
I could not imagine a more apathetic Ben Affleck than a Ben Affleck in couples counseling.
Yeah.
And so this is the movie that she missed the premiere. She missed the premiere of this film.
Mm-hmm.
And he directed?
He directed it and he starred in it. I will say, however, though, it's it's definitely a better film than what Taylor produced. It is a bit of an odd film because Viola fucking Davis is playing this amazing character who has such an interesting story, the woman who raised Michael Jordan.
Mm.
And then the movie is just kind of about these like sales guys who work at Nike making millions of dollars.
Ah, okay.
So it is like, and that's what the story is focused on.
Oh.
And the whole time you're kind of like, I want to know more about what's going on.
Let's go see what's happening at home.
With Viola Davis rather than these fucking white dudes who are now millionaires.
Just rich now.
Yeah. At the end, because also at the end, it's like, we know that the Air Jordan gets made. There's like, there's no like, oh my God, what if it doesn't, it's like, we know. it's definitely going to happen. And then at the end, it just gives you like all these stats of how much money all these people made. And you're like, huh, I really don't care about this anymore. No,
yuck.
This really feels like this movie was sponsored by Nike.
Read the room, Air.
Yeah. Okay. That's actually what this movie kind of felt like, was Air.
Sure.
It's like I was breathing it in and I was like, oh my God, this is really important. And I breathed it out and I was like, actually, well, you know
there
what?
There it goes.
It's just kind of stuff that's happening.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Do you recommend it?
Not really.
Okay.
I'd say if you've already put yourself through The Greatest Love Story Never Told.
Well, that's interesting because I so highly recommend The Greatest Love Story Never Told.
That is true.
When it comes down to it, what is the better film?
And you know what? It has stayed with me. Air, I was kind of like, that was a bit of a waste of time. Whereas I'm like, I am still planning to watch The Greatest Love Story Never Told again.
We did a viewing party or something.
True. Oh my God. Oh
my
God.
We do a live show where we just watch that.
Just our favorite parts. This is just becoming the J-Lo Watch podcast.
What's J-Lo up to podcast?
What's she doing?
Now, to finish off today, shall we do a little small screen recommendations?
Oh, okay. Look, I don't have a recommendation. I have something I've seen online that's pissing me off.
Oh, yes. I like being pissed off, so to me this is a recommendation.
Okay. Well, something that – and also this is – I've only see it really on – actually, no, I see it on Reels and I see it on TikTok. And it is these fake – Karen videos. Have you clocked these?
I've seen a few different types. Which type do you mean?
So I feel like there was a couple of years ago was a big spike in like, look at this, a racist Karen confronting someone in a park for just like being
there.
Oh,
the stage ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like there was real ones of just like, and it was like the whole start of the Karen dialogue of like, look at this archetype of person who is real in the world and is pissing us all off.
Yeah.
And that's why it's absolutely blowing up. The problem is now there is people doing these staged fucking videos of these like real life interactions with
Karen. I know exactly what you mean.
And the acting is bad.
It's embarrassing.
And you go and look at, it's like you'll start watching it and you're like, this is not how people interact.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like this in the real world.
Yeah. And then you go on the page and it's all of these fucking staged interactions of like racist Karen in the park, fucking racist neighbor confronts woman. It's like service worker abused by a Karen.
Yeah. It's rage baiting.
Yes.
That's the term for it. Huge right now, rage baiting. It's like baiting people for engagement because they're enraged on something. And then it turns out it's fake and just completely manufactured for engagement. That's where it's going. That's where so much of social media is going these days.
People will do fucking anything rather than create something new. And I'm really feeling this with TikTok in particular at the moment. It's like everything that is fed to me is so artificial, is so, has like almost an infomercial vibe to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, it's really turning me off. I already don't have it on my phone because it makes me feel ill, but it just like really feels like.
Are you a desktop TikTok girly?
Yes.
That's so cute.
It's because I'm heavily addicted to my phone, which means why the fuck did we start a podcast called Screen Queens? Because we care about you.
We
want to do something. We want to service you. But I'll still have a scroll on my desktop just to be up to date of what's going on. And every video, I'm just like, this is boring. I've seen this before. This is the most boring way you could present this information.
Yep.
Everyone is like sitting at a desk with fucking backlights and shit and the same microphone, the same fucking hair and the same expression and the same tone.
The same two little clips at the top of the hair.
Yes, which does look cute. Come on. So cute. But then like to see these like meant to be like real life things, I really fucking hate it. Do something better with your life. You're fucking wasting everyone's time. There's enough reasons to be angry in this world. Why are you baiting it?
Why are you manufacturing the rage?
Yeah,
we can be enraged at real things.
Yeah, I don't need to scroll. The main feed has enough of that. Life has enough of that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I agree. And I did see like a few weeks ago, I think there was a bit of chatter. I saw a few videos around the idea the public is starting to turn on the current style of influencing, the very overproduced style of influencing. And I saw this one woman do this really interesting TikTok around how she's kind of unfollowed all of the big creators and she's just gone back to enjoying content from small creators because they're real. They don't have all of the endorsements. They don't have the money. They're not living off TikTok. They're living real lives still. Mm. And like there's this one woman, I really love watching her, like, because she just does like what I eat in a day is day in the life. Her name's Becky Jones. She's this woman from like Leeds or something and she's got a really thick accent. She's just a sweet lady and she just goes about her day. And like I've just started to really enjoy watching that because it's real.
Oh my God. You know what that is? That's companion content.
Yeah. That's I feel like that's where it's kind of shifting to.
Yes. I mean, Emma Chamberlain was like the pioneer of this.
Yeah. And it's just more, it's less, here's a product I'm selling or get ready with me, let me teach you something. It's more just the realistic, this is just what I do in my day.
Yeah, or it's get ready with me while I tell you about this fucking murder that happened.
Get ready with me while I trauma dump.
yeah. And I also promote this supplement. And it's just like, it's so loud.
Yeah. So I think, I wonder if the tides are kind of turning away from overly manufactured content now.
Mm.
I'd love that.
Yeah, I'm over it. Well, Becky Jones sounds fantastic.
She's a sweet lady. She gets a lot of hate online, which is really sad. Don't read the comments. But
The comment section is foul at the moment.
Yeah. I've got a small screen reco to finish off today. This is a TikTok. It's an account called Lil Evie May.
Ooh.
And it's this baby girl. And for some reason, this little two-year-old girl has hair that looks like an old lady's hair.
I see this girl. It's great.
And so little Evie May looks like an old lady. She looks like she's in the Golden Girls. And so her mum has dressed her up like a little old lady. And it is so fucking cute. It is just the cutest way to just feel really good and happy. And I love Evie May.
Oh my God, real, authentic, not performing for the camera because she doesn't know what that is yet.
Exactly.
Well. All right, well, that's it. Head over to the Patreon if you want to hear a bonus episode about everything going on.
There'll be a new one up this Friday.
I will be telling that story about an actress who was rude to me at a party.
Yes.
I promise I won't forget this time. Sorry to everyone that I forgot.
I was so excited. I haven't heard this story before, so I'm very excited as well.
It's a good one.
Fuck yeah. We love you.
We love you.
Bye. See you next week.